House Bill 1303 is back again to revise the governor's emergency powers in the event of a terrorist or bioterrorist attack.
House Bill 1303, having had its second reading, so for final consideration, are there any remarks? Representative Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, ladies and gentlemen of the body. Well, this is the second of three bills that we're going to discuss today, and it is one that gives us the ability to respond to a terrorist or bioterrorist attack within South Dakota. This bill has had very extensive discussions in the State Affairs Committee and, frankly, around the corridors of this legislative body. And as a result of those discussions, I believe that a change does need to be made in the bill, and for that reason, I have an amendment at the desk.
That would be 1303-FA. Is there a second? Comments on the motion to amend, Representative Peterson.
If I may just speak to both the amendment and the bill, Mr. Speaker.
Granted.
Thank you. What we're talking about here again, ladies and gentlemen, and I'll try and be brief in my comments, is something that may happen, which we hope will never happen, and that is an act of terrorism or bioterrorism against the people, the property, or the state of South Dakota. These powers, these emergency powers, would only be triggered if such an event should occur. What we need to do is make sure that our government at the highest level in South Dakota is able to respond to some kind of a catastrophic terrorist or bioterrorist attack. We all saw what happened in New York City and the impact that the collapse of the World Trade Center had on the people there and the strain that it put on the ability of the police and the fire and the emergency rescue personnel to respond. Help poured in throughout the United States, and help came from every part of the United States to try to respond to that act of terrorism. What this does, if such an event should happen in our state, would be to assure that the governor would be able to supply the medical or non-medical supplies and resources that are needed to respond, to secure pharmaceutical agents and other medical supplies, to appoint and prescribe the duties of out-of-state health care providers who may come in to be able to help us in response to attack, to provide for the examination and safe disposal of dead bodies. And when we talk about here, this is a difficult subject, but I'm talking about human and animal bodies as well, which left exposed may be as great a health threat as any other attack. The authority to protect, construct, or repair transportation facilities such as airports, bus depots, and others, and to take all necessary action in the case of disaster or a terrorist attack that will keep the public safe. But that authority is limited to action that is not barred specifically by the Constitution or the laws of South Dakota or the United States Constitution. The governor cannot take any action that is prohibited by either of those documents. What my amendment does is simply make sure that your personal or private funds, be it your personal or business or other funds, and I'm talking about essentially your money, cannot be taken by the governor or anybody else in government to provide for this emergency. There was some concern that the power in that regard was too broad, and for that reason I have offered this amendment to limit it. I will simply close by saying that I know that there are those of us in this body who are concerned about giving a governor this kind of authority. I want you to know I share that concern. I share that concern because all of us revere the fundamental liberties that we have as a people. All of us in this room have taken an oath to uphold those fundamental liberties. We lose the war on terrorism if we give up those fundamental liberties. This bill does not threaten those liberties. This bill gives us the ability to respond to terrorist attacks. We have in this nation a history that is over 200 years old. We have a constitution that has served us well with three equal branches of government at the national and at the federal level. And I would close with just a little reminder of our nation's history, because for those of you who are concerned about the power a governor may have, others have been concerned about the power a president may have to respond to a national emergency. In 1861, when this nation was rent asunder by the Civil War, President Abraham Lincoln suspended the writ of habeas corpus. He was challenged in the court systems of the United States, and the Supreme Court of the United States ruled that the President of the United States did not have the right to ever suspend the writ of habeas corpus. Nearly 80 years later, and perhaps 90 years later, another president, Harry Truman, again at a time of national emergency, at a time when we were engaged in the Korean conflict, attempted to take over one of the fundamental industries in our United States. There was an uproar in Congress. The matter went before the courts, and the President of the United States was forced to back down. For those of you who are concerned about the power that may be given to a governor in a time of emergency, I submit to you that it is our responsibility and our court system's responsibility to ensure that the fundamental liberties of our people are not circumscribed, and I submit to you that history tells us that we will be ready for that task. I ask you to support House Bill 1303, not because we need the legislation, but in the event that someday, which I pray will never come, we may need this legislation. Please vote for House Bill 1303.
Further remarks? Representative Davis.
Mr. Speaker and members of the body, I'd like to preclude my question with, I was very proud of our governor when 9/11 happened. I was very proud of the way he handled it. I was very proud of the way he went in to seek security for our state. I was proud of the way he called the legislators together and didn't say, "What do you think?" He said, "This is what's going to happen." He did a good job. Now my question is, can he do all of Representative Peterson?
What? State your question.
Okay. Can the governor do all that we're saying in this bill without the bill?
Representative Peterson.
No, he cannot.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Further remarks? Representative Flowers.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I have a question for the bill sponsor, Mr. Speaker.
State your question.
Representative Peterson, I see in the amended bill and from the original bill, subsection 10 was taken out of Section 1. What, could you explain that to me, why that was taken out?
There is not, yes, I will be glad to answer that question if I might, Mr. Speaker.
Yeah, please.
We could give you about an hour-long dissertation on that, because I think that's about how long we spent on that particular section. The issue came down to one of which I think was an honest difference of opinion. In my opinion, I felt that the section should be left in because I thought that it provided even more restrictions on the governor's authority under this act than if it were left out. However, the committee disagreed, feeling that having it left in, it actually broadened the governor's authority under this act, and felt that by leaving it out, that the restrictions that are placed within the act and the inherent restrictions that are placed within our Constitution and the Constitution of the United States would be sufficient for that limiting ability.
Further remarks? Representative Smith.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker, and I'll be short. Representative Peterson, I think, did an excellent job in explaining this bill. I just want to add one other perspective from a personal view. Years ago in another life, I was the platoon leader of 18th Airborne Corps unit and was sent to Detroit, Michigan for the riots. When I arrived in Detroit and was working actually with the Michigan Army National Guard, who had been activated to help with the riots, there was a lot of chaos in Detroit. We weren't sure, I mean, the situation had exceeded the locals' police force ability to deal with. The Highway Patrol was involved, it exceeded their ability. The National Guard of Michigan was involved, it exceeded their capability. The federal government was called into play. And back in those days, in the late mid-60s, really no one was in charge. From a military view, I look at this and look at the operational control and think it's good for the state in the future, not looking at necessarily this governor, but for the future and for the people of our state to know that there's something written down, there's some guidance that's there that can then clarify things possibly if something as horrendous as 911 would happen to the state of South Dakota. So from that personal perspective, I would urge the body to wholeheartedly support 1303. Thank you.
Further remarks? Representative Hennies.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen, it doesn't please me much, but I have to oppose this bill, and I oppose it on several reasons. But I guess the bottom line is I'm simply opposed to giving more direct operational control to any governor in our state. Representative Schmidt was just telling about his experience in Detroit, and I read to you out of Article 3 of the Constitution. It says our governor shall be commander-in-chief of the armed forces of the state, except when they may be called into service of the United States, and may call them out and execute the laws to preserve order, to suppress insurrection, and repeal invasion. He already has that power. I'm concerned where it says direct operational control, because we have local governments in place around this state, and they have skilled and talented people to address these kind of situations. I'm a survivor of the Rapid City flood in 1972, and we had the assistance of the state through resources, but they didn't come in and take over the operational control of the police department or the sheriff's office or body or the morgues or any of that. It can happen. The governor of our state has plenty of authority already, but it's changed a little bit. On subparagraph 1, it says he has direct operational control, and that's present law. But the line right above it, if you'll look, adds in war, act of terrorism as defined by state law, so that changes all of those subsections. I'm not going to urge you to vote either way. I'm only going to tell you that I'm opposed to giving more control centrally located. This entire country was founded on the fact that we were going to have a decentralized government. And too many times around this world, central government has caused repression of the people. I don't know that that's the plan. I'm not saying that. I don't know that that'll occur. And I know we have to be cognizant of what's going on since September 11th. But I'm opposed to this bill. Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and ladies and gentlemen.
Further remarks? Representative Glinski.
Mr. Speaker and members of the body, I'd like to just add a bit of support to Representative Henney's comments. I think the governor currently has a great deal of power to handle disasters or emergencies beyond local government capability. Local governments do have emergency management setups already in place. Certainly utilization of those things makes sense, but I don't think we need to specify all these different things that are governmental powers centered in one person. I think there are enough powers there already. Certainly any kind of a terrorist attack would be a disaster or emergency beyond local government capability, and the governor could enter in. So I would urge you to simply leave the existing regulations in place and not add to that whole list of reasons for centralized control of events.
Are there any members that want to speak just to the amendment at this time? Seeing none, I will put the question of the amendment to the body. Those in favor of the Peterson Amendment, 1303 FA, will say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion carries. Bill is so amended. Further remarks on 1303 as amended? Seeing none, those in favor of final passage of House Bill 1303 will vote aye. Opposed, nay. The clerk will unlock the voting machine and members will proceed to vote.
Representatives Van Norman. Representative Van Norman. All members present have voted.
Clerk will display the vote.
Mr. Speaker, there were yeas 44, nays 24, absent 1, excused 1.
House Bill 1303, having received a majority vote of the members elect, is hereby declared passed. Questions on the title? Hearing none, the title is deemed agreed to.